Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
As always, it's a great privilege to be in your home or wherever you are today. It's just our honor to be with you, and we're wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Before we get in the Word of God, we just want to encourage you.
We do hope that today's word, and I've been hearing Ron as he's been preparing his notes over the last week, we've been praying into this word and believing that it's going to touch you very personally and very deeply. So right now we just ask God to give you revelation moments as you hear this word, that it'll be deeply personalized, but you'll begin to see how God is working for you and he's right on time in your life. So we're excited about the word today. Let's get our hearts ready and it's going to be great.
Thank you, honey. She'll come right back and she's going to minister with me toward the end. It's our great hope that God touches everyone today. We're on a beautiful series for God so loved the world. God so loves us. God so loves that he gave his only begotten son. As Nathan said a couple weeks ago, God moves into the neighborhood. And that's really up close and personal, and our Savior did just that. And it is a wonderful season because of that very reason that Jesus came. He came, he showed up. And that's a little bit of the theme of my message as we talk about Zechariah. Let's look in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5 and look at this incredible story about the father and the mother of John the Baptist. It says in verse 5 that in the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And look at this. It says they were both were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and statutes of the Lord. How difficult must that have been to walk blamelessly in all the ways of the Lord? These were two really good people. I mean, you rarely hear people describe older people that way anymore. Like, they're really righteous. They're really blameless. They are just the most amazing people. You hear a lot of times about their attributes. Like, he's a great, you know, tennis player. Or she's an amazing cook, or she's an incredible politician, or whatever it is. And yet these people were righteous. They were holy. They were blameless. And then the next verse says, it's a key setup right here. It says, but they had no child. And she was barren and advanced in years. Now, that was in a day where there were no sonograms, there's no fertility drugs, there's no medical doctors who would be able to treat something like this. And they were completely in the dark. And think about this right now, that they were so righteous and so good. Have you ever heard it said that why do bad things happen to good people? Can I just interject real quickly that even though they were righteous and blameless, they still weren't perfect. Only God is perfect. And so all of us are susceptible to damage done in the world, problems, whatever. And this beautiful couple, they were faithful, but something was missing in their lives. Something that they couldn't just produce. They couldn't just do it. And that's where we need the grace of God in our lives to give us what we can't do, to give us something that comes down from above from God. And this couple was in that in-between phase. And it so reminds me of so many people today who leave God and call themselves even atheists. But it's not because they have some scientific proof that there's no God. That's impossible. This is not a science statement, but a philosophy statement. It's not about that. It's about the fact that they have prayed and they were disappointed and things did not go their way. So they turned against God. And we have with us today a lot of wounded theists who just haven't waited long enough to see God come through. And in this particular story, it underscores verse 8. It says, while they were serving, he was serving as priest before God. It says he was on duty. Those two words, on duty. In other words, it was his custom. According to the custom, he entered into the presence of the Lord. He received the lot, which means that he was one out of 18,000 priests that through a drawing, a random, like a lottery, it was a drawing, and he became the next one who got to enter in to the presence of God on the very Day of Atonement, that he went in and he lit the incense and he lit the candles, And he created that moment of connection with the people and God. Man, he was on duty. What can we say about someone who's on duty? Their faithfulness, the fact that they have just done this time and time again. It says about Jesus in Luke 4:18, he gave this his inaugural message as a rabbi. Jesus stood up in the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown. He rolled open the scrolls. He said these powerful words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Then Jesus sat down and he said, "This scripture is fulfilled today." Wow. But notice right before that in verse 16, it says, "As was his custom, he went to synagogue." Jesus was faithful. Zechariah was faithful. But that did not stop Zechariah from being disappointed, having shame, facing the thing that every Jewish priest is longing and believing God for, a son to carry on the ministry of being a priest before God. I have a friend who's a rabbi, and he's an older man. He just had his first son, and he said, "I get to keep the tradition of 17 generations of a rabbi. Direct lineage through the line of Aaron is this man, my friend." His wife is hoping that he'll be a businessman, the baby boy, but we'll see. But the point is that this is something that was sacred, and they just didn't get it their way. Well, you know, it's the reality of life so often is that we get disappointed. We don't get our way. My philosophy of success in life is three simple things: love people, live holy, and show up. God's taught me that over the years. You just have to be faithful, even when you don't feel it. I mean, here we are in Zoom church so often, online church. How often do we just want to go to the golf course or want to go shopping or want to go to the brunch or whatever? But you know what? You're faithful. That's why you're here. You're here. And it's only a matter of time before God breaks through. But before we talk about that breakthrough for Zechariah and Elizabeth, let me talk to you for just a second, because the thing that keeps us going back to God is the fact that we not only want to be faithful, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. To be a disciple means an element of discipline. Lynette and I were talking before we were doing this message about the book, the famous book, The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And in this book, it describes internal disciplines and external disciplines. It covers the gamut of prayer and fasting and solitude and silence and declarations, confessing the faith, confessing the Bible, reading the scripture, those basic things that will tee you up for a successful life and a successful future. And that's what Zechariah did, in spite of all of his disappointments and everything else. It says in verse 11, they got a breakthrough. An angel came down from heaven, and he said in verse 11, "Your prayer has been heard." And I could just imagine Zechariah just like, what prayer has been heard? I mean, he was an old man, probably 20, 30, 40 years ago, they were praying for a child, and they had forgotten about it. But there's one thing about God: God never forgets any of our prayers. He's always remembering our prayers. And if the answer is yes, then the question is, when will that come to pass? When will that come to pass? And that's what we're stuck so often. We're stuck in this instantaneous gratification culture where we hit the microwave on a 1 30-second quick spot, and we're sitting there looking at our watch, waiting on our hot chocolate to come out in 30 seconds from now. What kind of a generation have we become? God is living outside, above, and he transcends time, but he is always on time for you and your household. We don't feel it so often. We struggle, but man, is God coming through. And he came through when the angel came down. And because this man was so disappointed, he was so old, as he said, he was so old, and he had grown callous that he had unbelief in his heart that he could not even believe that this was happening. He couldn't even believe it. And it says, He said these words in verse 18, even though the angel had described the greatness of his son, that this son is going to restore fathers to their children and children to their fathers. This son was going to be a forerunner to the Messiah. His son was going to be this great, awesome, holy man. And because of that, don't let alcohol touch his lips and don't do this and do that with your son because he is marked for destiny. Moms and dads, all of your children, believe it or not, are marked with a destiny from God and they are dependent upon us to lay foundations in their lives so that they become obedient and stay truthful to God. God shows forth and reveals himself to the righteous. He has a habit and a pattern of doing this. But this unbelief struck him. And in verse 18, in Luke chapter 1, verse 18 says that the angel, he said to the angel, when the angel spoke all that, he said, "How shall I know this? I'm old and my wife is really old." He said, she's advanced in years, whatever that means. And the angel says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring this good news. And behold, because you are not agreeing with what I'm saying to you, you're not agreeing with God, you're going to be a mute." Unbelief has its consequences. You're going to be silent. And that's exactly what happened to him. He was silent for a long time, many months. And it's interesting that at this point that the narrative changes away from Zechariah, the Greek word Zacharias, but the Hebrew word Zechariah, that he was, in essence, allowed to be silent in that season until the grace of God breaks through on him one more time. One more time. We'll get to that. But the narrative changes away from them over to Elizabeth and to Mother Mary, the birth mother of our Lord Jesus. It changes. And you begin to see these two, they didn't have a hard time believing. Even though Elizabeth was so old, but Mary even had a more challenging situation. She's a virgin, and yet she's pregnant. And these two get together, and they're one generation to another generation are passing the baton for the glory of God, and God's purposes will prevail and remain in spite of all of the obstacles. God moves above, beyond, without, with. God moves however He chooses. I'm just so glad He loves us. And for God so loved the world that He showed up in our lives. He showed up in human history. This is not once upon a time in a faraway galaxy. This is not fairy tale. This is not once upon a time. This is history in the making. And this impact of God showing up through His Son Jesus has changed everything. And we're here to celebrate this Christmas season, the birth of our Lord Jesus, the birth of our Savior. And it's beautiful because Gabriel then goes over to Mary and describes to Mary what would happen. And she also asked the angel Gabriel a question, but Zechariah was asking in unbelief. And Mary was asking in, "I don't know how this can happen." And there is a difference in their tone, in the Greek nuances there, in the languages, and a man coming out of decades of hardship, because actually in that time before God appeared to Zechariah, the scripture and history records, and they call it 400 years of silence, or they call it the period, the rabbis called it the period of the quenched spirit. The spirit had disappeared. There was no speaking. It was absent. The people were waiting in silence from God. And man, did God show up. He showed up with a bang. He showed up with Gabriel coming. He showed up with the filling of the Holy Spirit as Mary and Elizabeth were speaking to each other. Elizabeth, when she came in, that the baby, her baby, when she heard Mary's voice, was leaping in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth got a revelation. She said, "How is it that you, young lady, are the mother of my Lord?" She caught it. She got it. God opened her eyes, and she is one of the first to have the revelation of who is Jesus Christ. Who is He? Oh, my goodness. And may God open our eyes to that great revelation, and we can answer that extraordinary question, "Who are you, Jesus?" As we continue to read on in this, it is this wonderful 3 months together. that they spent together, and they were just praying for each other, rejoicing every day, and you can see that they're nurturing their faith. Meanwhile, Zechariah is still silent. He can't speak. God tuned him out. He said, you have to be quiet. What's happening in your life is so significant, your negative words need to be completely shut down. You need to be isolated. And that negativity, you're not decreeing a good thing. You're not agreeing with God. You're not believing God. And this is something that we must discipline ourselves to do, and that is believe the word of the Lord. Yes, things have not always gone your way or my way. Oh, my goodness. I prayed and prayed for my son, Jordan, to live. I prayed and prayed God raise him from the dead. I prayed and prayed multiple times over that 2.5-3 year period of the last days of his life. God did not answer the way I wanted. But I have no right to go into being negative against God or saying, well, I don't believe in you, God. What good are you, God? Why didn't you answer my prayer, God? There is a mystery involved in these things that transcends our own feeble mind. There is a mystery that is bigger, and God then begins to show us. And the older I get, the more I realize I will be restored with my son. He's going to have a whole body, a whole mind. He's going to be just fine. And the fruit and the impact of his short-lived life is going to be so great that in that moment, I'll be able to say, it is all good and it is well with my soul. And the more I get to know God, the more I'm okay. I'm okay not always getting my way. Because if I got my way all the time, I would become God. And if I was God, everything would be messed up and nothing would be right. But God knows what He's doing. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He knows what He's doing. And even old Zechariah, when his son was born, they went to the father, which is the custom, and they said, Father, what is the name of this baby? And he wrote on a tablet, not an iPad tablet. No, sorry, Steve Jobs, but no, not an Apple product. But he wrote on a tablet and he said, his name shall be called John. His name is John. And as soon as he wrote that down, because he agreed with God, he agreed with Gabriel, he agreed with the angel, he agreed with the plan of God, then immediately his mouth began to speak. His name is John. His name is John. You see, your failure, Zechariah's failure, is never permanent. No, God steps into human history and he makes it well again. And that's what he did. There was something missing in their life. But when the peace of God and the plan of God came, it was no longer missing again. It wasn't, they were not mature enough to deal with the greatness of raising John the Baptist, who ate locusts and grasshoppers out in the wilderness, who was a wild bearded man, who was fierce and ferocious. They could have treated him a different way, the wrong way. They might have said, oh, you need to be a nice, tame little priest boy and light the candles. No, not for this man. He had to be different. And God had his way. And God's going to have his way in my family and in your family, my brothers and sisters. And if you don't have a family, you're a part of a spiritual family. And God's doing something great in you. And may he tune you in. And when you don't get your way, I teach my six-year-olds this all the time. When you don't get your way, it's going to be okay. If you don't lose faith, don't lose your heart. Keep a good spirit. Keep a good attitude. I've got three quick words here to end this message. But the first is that God rewards faithfulness. God is all about faithfulness. It's so clear in Scripture that this is just what God asks. He doesn't ask us to be super successful. He doesn't ask us to be wealthy. He doesn't ask us to be like, you know, at the top of the class. He just says, be faithful. And sure, some of you are going to be wealthy, end up at the top of your class, be the best football player, be the best athlete, whatever. That's great. But all God is asking is to be faithful, and it's manageable. You know what it says in Micah 6:8, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We do justice to the degree that we can on a day-by-day basis. Everything from every transaction to how we treat people, certainly with how we view the world and the oppressed of the world and the disenfranchised of the world, the orphans, the widows, etc. We can do kindness. We can do good deeds just on a daily basis. We can't do everything. We can't do all the justice in the world. We can't be there for the Uyghurs in China and the disenfranchised in Nepal or whatever. We have to focus on what God puts in our path every day. Do justice, love kindness, do the good deeds. But then walk humbly with our God is the major assignment. We can't do justice unless we walk humbly with God. We can't do kindness unless we walk humbly with God. That's every day. And that is what it means to be faithful. Just doing the faithful things every day of our lives. Secondly, real quickly here, obedience sets good things in motion. Obedience does. Look what happened. The things that got set in motion through John the Baptist's life. How many people, thousands upon thousands, were baptized in the Jordan River. The relationship between Elizabeth and Mary nurturing these children, John the Baptist and then Jesus, the cousins, that they were being nurtured and brought up together in the same region. The things that happened, the impact that happens through St. Augustine, through Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., through Dr. Billy Graham, just the impact, the domino effect. We all know what that's like to line up the dominoes, like when you're a little kid, you line them up and they begin to fall down. Well, people do that today, and they do it at all kinds of levels because it became an actual physics demonstration through a physicist, Lorne Whitehead, who set up and he reasoned and he proved that when you just add in, if you make a domino 1.5 times bigger for each one, that the gravity, the impact of the gravity can lean in, and he does his experiment on 13 dominoes. But he said on the 13th, it'll knock down something that's 100 pounds, starting with five little, you know, millimeters. But the next, at the final 13th, it's 100 pounds. He said, go to the 29th of this scientific experiment, and it's big enough on the 29th to knock down the Empire State Building. Yes, the Empire State Building through the 29th, just simply the increase and the impact of momentum and gravity and basic physics is astounding. Same thing in your life. Obedience is everything. You plant a seed of obedience today and you watch what happens tomorrow. I have 100 stories I could share, just little obedience stories. I have more disobedience stories. I'll save that for another one, but another message. But this was an obedience moment. And it started, here's the chain reaction. In 1974, a man by the name of Ray Barnett was in war-torn Idi Amin's Uganda. And in that particular setting, it was a bad situation with all of the orphans everywhere. He heard a little child singing behind a rock. He went around and he said, this is the loveliest voice I've ever heard. He started the African Children's Choir. They set up a touring choir that began to travel the globe. This is the original of the children's choir. He was the first step of obedience. Then there was a woman, a New York City actress named Julia Barnett, not related to Ray Barnett, but Julia then was an actress, and God called her to leave her acting of New York City, move to Rwanda, where she served this African Children's Choir for several years. She came back to New York City. She became a part of our early church in the early days, and she said to me, Pastor Ron, I want to bring the choir to perform on our stage. They did. I said, you need to send this choir down to our large auditorium in North Carolina, where 2,000 people could enjoy them and they could raise money for the orphans. That happened, and then God spoke to me at that North Carolina event. He spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to buy these kids a house. They need a house. And indeed, they did need a house because they were living out of a bus while they were touring. And they've been able to receive a home and medicine, doctors, food, education, and most importantly, a place to base and to practice and rehearse all the stuff that they do, dancing, singing, everything else, and they raise all this money that goes back. Well, when a corporate woman saw them at that big event, she said, what can I do to help? And we talked to her about it, and she and her husband flew to Uganda and saw it, where there was this Music for Life Foundation. They bought a roof, put it on. She came back, left her corporate job, and she got involved with Orphan Sunday that was barely kind of making it. She got involved, she nurtured it, and now today we just celebrated another Orphan Sunday about 2 months ago. And believe it or not, 123 nations participate in Orphan Sunday, reaching millions of people. And now more of the world is advocating for the 200 million orphans worldwide. You can't make it up. Obedience, a negotiator, an actress, a pastor, and a corporate businesswoman. That's happening in your life all the time. The obedience that you show to your kids. That's happening in your life. The obedience that you show before God to your boss when you do things that are radical, like, I can't believe you stayed that late. I did it because I'm on assignment. I'm serving a higher principle. Whether you say that or not, that's the reality. We do all things as unto the Lord. And the third point about this is that God is supernatural and nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible to God. I want my wife to come up because those two words, super and natural. Supernatural. Thanks, Lynette. super. God does things that are super, but it looks natural. And so often that becomes the stumbling block because it's not what I thought it would be. I wanted it to be like full range smoke screens and, you know, this big thing, a spaceship dropping down. And then Jesus walks out and he's got his, you know, he's got his mink coat on and all that. And he's got a hat. No, it's very natural. It was a birth, a Zachariah's son, Mary's son. It's natural, but it's super. It's super. And you need eyes to see and ears to hear to agree with God. And that's our hope today.
I love hearing that story over and over again. Embedded in that story of Elizabeth and Mary is really one of my life verses that I've quoted for years and years during long seasons of desert, long seasons of seeing no sign of answered prayer. And that is this verse. When Mary goes in and she goes to visit Elizabeth, runs off as soon as she knows that she's going to conceive the Messiah. She runs off to Elizabeth, and when she comes in, as Ron said, the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb. But then Elizabeth goes through this beautiful declaration of Mary and speaking about the coming king. And she says this word to Mary that I've quoted so many times. She said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has told her will be accomplished." Blessed are you today, I'm saying that over your life. Blessed are you, he or she, who has believed that what the Lord has told you will be accomplished. I declared that verse over my life for years. God told me so many things that in faith I wrote out in my journals and prayed with my friends and stayed in our church community and we're declaring it together, but no evidence. And then in just like that hymn says, that carol we sing at Christmas, "Late in time, behold, he comes." Doesn't it feel like that so often, late in time? Well, right on time. If we'll believe the word of the Lord, it will be accomplished. And I'm believing that for your life right now.
It's so good because God does not want us to get lost in the mundane. In the mundane, yes. The duty, the being on duty, the customs. Let's keep those things as sacred because sooner or later, the law of sowing and reaping catches up and you will reap what you've sown. Yes. So I want to encourage you, don't get lost in the mundane. There's so many areas that just feel mundane or even our giving feels just mundane. Like, okay, here I go again, tithe, mm-hmm. offering, whatever. But man, God is just right here with us as we're touching our own house and touching the city. And it's a great opportunity to really go all in into something, some way to say, I'm going to put an exclamation point on my end of the year of 2020. I'm going to say goodbye to this year by planting a seed for my new year. And so let's do that together. I know that we've been talking about that. We know what we're going to do. I want to encourage you to do the same, that we could give thousands and thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars to those in need in our city, and we can make a difference for the love of the house, the love of the city, and the love of the nations. Well, God bless you. It's been great to be with you today. We want to encourage you in Jesus' name to run the race that is before you. Fight the good fight of faith. By faith, you're going to overcome, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you. Go in peace today.
We love you guys.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.